Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Now, brethren, I really don't think I need to preface my lesson with these words, but I'm going to, just in case someone might misunderstand. I'm not mad at anybody. I am not trying to just get anybody told. But it's obvious, isn't it, that a lot of us here at East End seem to or must question their responsibility of being at every service of the church. Now, the reason I say you must question that is because you're not present at the services. All you have to do is just look at the numbers. That's very obvious. It's very plain. Now, I know some are sick. We're not talking about those. Some have responsibilities that they have to arrange, and it's not something that's easily arranged. I would know all about that. I know there's the care of the sick. But it's quite obvious that a lot of us do not accept that responsibility because of the distinctive difference between those present at this hour and at tonight and Wednesday night and at gospel meetings, at Bible study, at other times of our assembly. And you hear all kind of excuses as to why people don't come to the worship services. Now, what I want to do today is to make an appeal to you. I want to give you some evidence, biblical evidence, reasonable, logical evidence, why every Christian ought to be present for every service that is physically possible for him to be present. And the first one is, it gives you an opportunity to prove and to demonstrate your gratitude and love for God. Brethren, we are so indebted to God. He has done so much for us. The abundant material and on top of that, the spiritual blessings that we receive. You know, we love Him because He first loved us. And should we not, as His disciples, prove to Him that we truly love Him, and do we not show our appreciation to Him when we come to praise Him and to honor Him and to give thanks unto Him and to learn about Him? And that's what we do when we come to the services of the church. And if by my attendance I do show my love, and you do, and what about my deliberate absence? What about my absence when I have deliberately planned to do something else that I could not or could have put off or dismissed altogether and put the Lord first? We ought to be present in every service, brethren, because when we come, we're made stronger. There's a great strengthening effort made by being together in fellowship with those of kindred spirit and kindred faith. We strengthen one another. As we have said before, so say we now again, the main purpose of a congregation, or one of them, is certainly to help one another get to heaven. We do that when we assemble together in our worship. And inasmuch as the Word of God is preached and taught, and this is the food for the soul, this is that by which we're made stronger. When we expose ourselves to that sort of thing, why, we are made stronger. And when we just deliberately time in and time out, we're gone, why, we're missing the very nourishment for the soul that we so desperately need. Sometimes people grow weak and they become irregular in their worship and they become discouraged and they're filled with doubt and they have frustrations. No wonder. They've cut themselves off from the lifeline. Why, a man in the hospital may sometimes have to have a breathing tube. How is he going to do any good if he's going to close up that breathing tube? I heard about the man that went to visit a man one time in the hospital, and walked over to his bed and tried to speak to him, and the man tried to speak to him, and he said, "Oh, I didn't realize he was that sick." He said, "Can you talk to me?" And he still couldn't talk to him, and so he did like this, and so he handed him a pad and pencil, and he said, "You're standing on my breathing tube." Brethren, when you cut off your supply, what do you expect? And that's what you do when you habitually, deliberately absent yourself from the worship services. You ought not be doing that. We ought to be present every service because our Lord said He would be in our midst. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name," and that's by His authority, "there I am in the midst of him, of them." We are here by the authority of our Lord. And it should sober us to know that Christ spiritually is in our midst. You know, it's a practice of people. Sometimes they will make great efforts. They will even travel great distances to see some earthly dignitary of some kind. The president or some rock star or some entertainer or some sports celebrity of some day. They'll make all kinds of effort to go and to be in the presence of that kind of person. Listen, friend, our Lord doesn't even compare with such trivialities as I've mentioned before. The greatest of all beings is in our midst when we assemble together to worship God in a time like this. The story is told about an irreligious man one time asked a member of the church as to why he attended all the services. He said, "So many times, so few came. Why do you go?" And he said, "The Lord will be there, and that's enough for me to want to be there." Is that the way it is with you? The Lord will be there. Is that enough that you want to be here also? And even though we certainly don't see Him with the eye like we see the bodies of one another, by our faith and by our acceptance of what He has promised, we know that He will keep our His appointment with us. Will we keep our appointment with Him? Now, you make appointments, and sometimes you have to break them. You make an appointment with a doctor, you'll try to keep it. You make a business appointment, you'll try to keep it. Let me tell you, friend, if you be a Christian, you have an appointment with God at the assemblies of the church. The Lord's going to keep the appointment. Will you? We should attend every service of the church because certainly the Lord wants the church to grow, and experience proves that where the members of a congregation are loyal and faithful and supportive of the local congregation and its efforts, the church grows. Nothing ought to be deliberately planned that will interfere from the services of the church. Even when a person is sick and has to be absent, that's a negative for the efforts of the church. Of course, that's something that can't be helped. But what about that person that could be present, ought to be present, should want to be present, but just deliberately plans to do something else instead of being present? Friend, if the members of the church think worship of God is a matter of indifference, what do you think the non-members are going to think? If fathers and mothers think that attendance at the worship services is a matter of indifference, what do you think your children are going to absorb and learn and be taught by your example? A lot of children aren't faithful to the church, and it's been because they've picked up on what father and mother has shown them in the years of their upbringing. Too few realize it, but by your very attendance at the service of the church, you have a wonderful role and a wonderful help and a wonderful part in the upbuilding of the cause of Jesus Christ. And right closely akin to that, you ought to attend the service of the church because that's a good example. And we're to be good examples. We're to let our light shine, that others may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 16. You know, a lot of people are watching you, watching me. They will imitate you and imitate me, our neighbors, our children, our relatives, our brethren. And at the hour of worship, when brethren gather together, my influence is somewhere. Now, if I'm present, my influence is on the side of the brethren worshiping God. But if I'm somewhere else and I could have been present, my influence is against the cause of Christ. You might look at it, as some have suggested, it's sort of like making a vote. When you're present at the worship services, you're voting for the church to be open, or the worship services to be open, the building to be open, for brethren to be obedient here to God. But when you're deliberately absent, you've cast a vote. You may not think so, but you have, and your vote is, close it now. Sort of like little boy one time riding along on Sunday night with his mother and daddy, and they happened to take a road, went right by the church building. Once the lights were on Sunday night, parents never went on Sunday night. The little boy said, look at there, somebody left the lights on. That's the way it is in a lot of families. That little boy will grow up thinking, well, the service of the church, that's not too important. As long as we go and pay our due on Sunday morning, that's all that's necessary. No, that's not all that's necessary. That's not all that's beneficial and useful, brethren. Now, I'm saying that a lot of us have that attitude, or some attitude kin to it anyway. Don't you think so? Is that an unfair evaluation? I'm not talking about any particular person. I'll let you and God deal with that. I'm talking about the overall result that we do see. We should go to the service of the church, and this ought to be enough to obey God. Because the Lord has taught us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Brethren, we're also taught, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Don't you know that when prayer is offered, that's good? When the Bible is taught, that's good? When God is worshipped, that's good. When brethren have fellowship and encourage one another, that's good. And when you just leave all of that out or miss it when you had an opportunity, don't you know that's bad? And if by your presence you are obeying God, what are you doing when you are deliberately absent? You should go to every service of the church, and this is not the best reason, but it's one. Because it helps you to remain faithful, and it's certainly the safest thing you do. Brethren, you just have to wonder, when you are one of these people that will come maybe on Sunday morning, and maybe not even too regularly at that, you have to wonder if you're really doing what you ought to be doing. It is the most foolish thing in the world to gamble with your soul. Your soul is so precious, our Lord died for it. Peter said, to make your calling and election sure. Brethren, we don't want to give the devil a chance to recapture us. Coming to the services of the church will go a long way to prevent him from being able to do that. You know, we care for our life here. We don't take needless chances with it. My son Sam called the other day, and I thought his mother surely would have taught him better than this. But he was told us, he said, you know what we're going to do tomorrow? He said, we're going to get on one of these parachute things and let a boat pull us out there, and we're going to be up here riding in the parachute. That's crazy. You know that now. I'll tell him. But fortunately, he survived it. To me, that's just risking your life. And, of course, he was on his honeymoon. He'd probably have been up in the air anyway. But we just don't deliberately risk our lives foolishly. Friend, that's something more important than your physical life that's in your hands. And that's your spiritual welfare. And you don't want to just gamble that away. And one of the safeguards that God has provided is a regular worship and gathering of brethren together. That's one of the greatest contributions that you can make to your own faithfulness. You need to go to every service of the church because we are instructed to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And worship is part of our service unto God. It's not the whole thing. And we're certainly not suggesting that worship and the work of the church are one and the same. I'm suggesting that worship is a part of our service to God. just like you doing good in other realms, is part of your service to God. And we're to always be abounding in that. And dear brethren, when we come along, we plan to do something else. We schedule to do something else. We don't intend to be present there. We know we're not going to be present because we're going to handle things this way. Brethren, do you really think that you're being obedient to that command in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58? Why, you know you are not. When you're doing those things that God wants done, you can know that you're doing something profitable. You know, we can engage in a lot of things where we can't be sure it's going to be profitable or not. You might go into a business. You might even enter a marriage. You might plant a garden. You might do a lot of different things. And you have no certainty that it's going to be profitable. But when you are always abounding in the work of the Lord, we know that that is spiritually profitable. We ought to be present at the services of the church for that reason. Now, I've just mentioned a few of these things. God expects us to worship. God expects us to help one another. God expects us to be obedient. God expects us to keep our priorities in order. God expects us to put Him and His righteousness and His kingdom first. Not after everything else that you decide that you need to do or want to do or would like to do. That should be a priority in your life. And if it is not, friend, may I persuade you to adjust your thinking more in tune with the will of God, because it's out of tune if that's not the way you're thinking. Now, I'm not mad at those who don't attend. I'm disappointed at you. And I'm frustrated over you. And I really don't know why you profess to be a disciple of Christ when you let the world so many times push out something that is so important. But I'm trying to persuade you to give this thing some real thought. So many are so faithful, so much so that you are reluctant to even have to bring these things out. And it is generally true that the very ones who need the lesson most, they're not here. And I want to tell you, they're not going to hear a lesson like this unless those of you who are here, here's the way they can do it, unless those of you who are here care enough about truth and about their souls to go tell them, because they'll not hear me preach it, they're not here. You write about being present in the bulletin, they don't read it. They avoid that sort of thing. But you know, it would be sort of hard for them to avoid it if all the members of the church began to approach them kindly, softly, tenderly, with persuasion, beseeching them. You need to be faithful to the worship services, all the services of the church. That's the way we'll strengthen and build up one another, and that may be the only way they'll ever hear it. The very thing that they so desperately need. By way of brief summary then, we need to be present every service, brethren, to show our love and gratitude to God for all the things that He's done for us. We need to be present every service because when we come, we are made spiritually stronger. We need to be present because He's made an appointment with us and us with Him. He'll keep His appointment. We need to keep it also. We need to be present at the services of the church because it does help the church to grow. We need to be present at every service because this is the way we set a good example before others. You need to be present for the overriding reason to obey God. And like I said, when I mentioned that point, that's sufficient reason right there. We need to be present because it's certainly the safest thing for us to do. You need to be present so we can always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, when you do these things, I can just hear it. I've had it said nearly every time you ever talk about attendance. Someone's going to come up, and they won't today because I'm going to hit it off. It's more to being a Christian than going to church. Well, who doesn't know that? So you're not going to say that silly, stupid thing to me today, because you already know what it is. It's silly and stupid. So you've never said it before. Well, some of you haven't. Some of you have. Most of you haven't. Other places they've certainly said it. I preached this lesson one time in a gospel meeting. I hardly got to the back of the building when they're still singing the last song before the prayer. This brother walked up, "Brother Moore, there's more to being a Christian than going to church." I said, "Do I look that dumb that I don't know that?" But it's a part of it. It's an essential part of it. It's not a part that you can just by the wave of your hand dismiss either, brethren. You need to take that in serious consideration, because your deliberate absence from the services of the church is the first major step in departing from the faith. People very rarely are unfaithful to the Lord when they are faithful in the worship services. Not that the attendance is the sum total of being faithful, but that's what motivates them. That's where they're taught. That's where they learn to be faithful in all the other things. And when you are not faithful in your attendance, you are taking a dangerous step in the wrong direction. And brethren, even when we do all of these things and all of the other good works that the Lord expects of us, we're not earning anything. We're not meriting anything. God doesn't owe us anything. We don't deserve anything. We're dependent upon the love and the grace and the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. We're dependent upon the plan of salvation that He's given us for our salvation. But you see, worship and being present at the assembly is a part of God's plan. Now, I said at the start I was going to give you some evidence and some reasons as to why you ought to be present at every service of the church, and I think I've done that. And there may be others that you could add to it, and others could add to the things I've said. But I've proven the point. And we need all to abide by it. Tonight, we're going to meet at 6 o'clock. What's going to be your vote? Where's going to be your influence? How much impression will these truths have on you? You might even have to make some changes in your plans this afternoon. That won't kill you. That might help you to be present at the services. I know brethren generally just do what they want to do regardless, but you're going to be the exception. Most of you are faithful at the assembly. Some of you are not. I fully hope and trust and pray and have brought this lesson pleading with you that you will make an alteration in your habit of absenteeism. That's one of the most deadly things to the cause of Christ among brethren today. If you're not a Christian, this is one of the responsibilities that you undertake, dear people, when you become a Christian. Don't come to Christ and thinking, "Well, I can take what I want and leave what I don't want." When you come to Christ, you take what Christ wants. And He wants you to be present at the worship services. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, will repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized into Christ, God will, by the blood of Christ, wash your sin-stained soul clean. Add you to His church. Put you into the body of Christ. You will be a member of the Lord and a Christian. And then you assume all of the responsibilities, but you enjoy all the blessings of being in Christ. If you once done that and have not walked faithfully, won't you repent of your neglect and confess that and go to God in prayer? He will forgive.